notices, please. Just get a couple of notices out the way. Yep, no evening service tonight, so don't come this evening, and the same for next week. But it's a bit of a trick, isn't it? Because Christmas and New Year's Day are Sundays, then normally we start at 10. But we started today at 10. I thought everyone would come early, because they thought it would be 10. But you've come at 10:30, exactly right. Do the same next week. New Year's Day, Howard will be preaching, it's 10:30, not 10. And again, no evening service. Park Run Cafe appears to still battling through during the Christmas season. They're absolute heroes, aren't they? And, okay, thank you. Evening of prayer, yeah, most of you know about that, but that's coming up soon now. January the 6th, Friday, beginning at 6, going right through to midnight. Stay for the whole time, stay for part of the time. Partners can swap, so one can go home, the other one can come, if you've got kids. There's ways to work around it, but it'd be a fantastic evening where we just seek the Lord in prayer. Okay, thank you. There will be chocs afterwards for the kids, as usual, which is always well, it gets me excited anyway. So that's it. Thank you. Well, let's sing our first carol, which is Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. Let earth receive her King. Let's try and put the words on. Perhaps another click might do it. Just talk among yourselves. Oh, here we go. Great. Okay, let's start. Joy to the world. Thank you. Please be seated. Judy's going to come up now and read us a poem from our great late friend, Iris Wilcox. She was a great poet, and she's written a poem, or did write a poem, about Christmas Day. So Judy's going to read that for us.
Christmas is... So much has been said about Christmas. There seems nothing left to say. Yet the love that came down at Christmas is renewed with each passing day. Each time we awake from our slumber, refreshed both in body and mind, we prove once again that the Father has loving concern for mankind. Though troubles may rage all around us, though sorrow or pain be our share, His help can be ours for the asking. He hears our most faltering prayer. For Jesus came down to save sinners, to bind up the broken heart. He came to bring light for our darkness, his grace and his truth to impart. So when you think Christmas is over and you've put all the tinsel away, remember for those who love Jesus, it's Christmas Day every day.
Let's just come and talk to the Lord just for a brief time. Father, we thank you for that poem. We thank you for Iris and every remembrance of her. We thank you that she's with you now, which is amazing. And Lord, we thank you for that reminder of Christmas Day, that actually for those that trust you, Christmas Day is every day. As we think of you, as we have a relationship with you, as we know the reality of what it is when you became one of us in Jesus. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this season where we can spend valuable time with families and friends, and we can celebrate in all kinds of ways and catch up, but also to take that time aside to remember the wonder of the gift of Jesus, not just simply his birth, but his death and then his new life in resurrection. And that we all share. And we thank you so much for that. I would want to praise you for the fact that David Turner, who's been unwell for a while and is still unwell, but is feeling a lot better the last few days and has three good nights. And we pray that you'd completely bring him to full healing now and help him to have a great Christmas. Thank you that he's able to go out to Ruth later. And we just pray that you would draw near to him and Lillian too and the family at this time. Pray for Pat McDonald as she grieves the passing of her husband John and the family there too, and help her to be greatly comforted this Christmas time as she's among family. So Father, we just thank you for this great time and pray for all that may be on their own today or may be feeling sad. Not everybody has people around them, and I just pray that you would give a special blessing to them and draw close to them. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read from Matthew Chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25. Okay, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. I haven't memorized the verse yet. No, thank you. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's sing our second carol. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. In our reading that we've just had, Joseph finds out that his fiancée is pregnant. Imagine if you were Joseph and you knew you hadn't had any relations with your fiancée and yet you find out she's pregnant. Put yourself in his position. It's not his baby, so he assumes she's been unfaithful, she's cheated. But Joseph is a decent bloke, and he doesn't want to get his own back at all. He doesn't seek to humiliate Mary any more than he thinks she already is. Instead, he's going to keep it quiet and let her go without a fuss. Why? Because in spite of what he thinks she's done, he loves her and wants to do the best for her. I'm just going to draw three very simple things. And the first thing is this. Joseph's heart here towards Mary is like the heart of Jesus, the son that Mary is just about to bring into the world. Jesus knows what you and I have done. And yet in spite of what you've done, he loves you. And he comes into this world, which we remember at Christmas time, to do his very best for you and to give his life that you may live. However, Mary was innocent. She hadn't done anything wrong. She'd been faithful to Joseph. This pregnancy was a work of God. It was a supernatural birth that could only be made possible by the one who does the impossible, the Lord God. And then we see how Mary is like her son to come, Jesus, who she's about to bring into the world, because he too, like Mary, was accused of wrongdoing, yet he was faithful to God. He was innocent of wrong, and what he did could only be made possible by the one who does the impossible. Jesus' death and resurrection meant that he too could create a supernatural birth in you and me. Not a natural birth, but a birth of spirit, a new life, a new nature inside of you. That's what it means to be born again. Jesus came to take away all that blocks God, all the stuff that we've done wrong, all the things that offend him, to remove it upon the cross and then enable you to be born again, a new life. Start afresh. And the thing is that we see about Jesus is that he supernaturally came into this world of a virgin, impossible, and supernaturally came back to this world after. He himself was born of Mary into a new life, and later born again in a new body that would last forever. Christmas is so that you can consider these things, so that all these things could be made possible. Christmas was and is for you. It's the beginning of all the other stuff that we read about Jesus. And it's a glorious beginning. Because Jesus lived and then he died. And 3 days after Jesus died, he received new indestructible life. And that new life re-entered his dead body. And as it did, his body was forever changed. And now it's happened to him, Jesus says, it will happen to all who trust in him. So Christmas is a celebration not just of a birth, but a death and another birth. There are two, if you like, born again realities for those who trust Jesus Christ. The first is spiritual and inside. That is, before a person trusts Christ, before I trust Christ, I was spiritually dead to God. I couldn't perceive him. I could be religious, but I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. And now I'm alive to him. I was once spiritually blind. I couldn't see him by faith, but now I see him. I couldn't hear his voice. The Bible made no sense whatsoever. It was black and white. Now it's glorious HD or 4K. And now I hear and I respond. When you become a Christian and come to Christ, you enter into, right now, a new spiritual kingdom and you have a new family. I've got brothers and sisters that I've met here, loads of you, and those that I've never met, but will one day. And they're all God's children. And the second way of a born-again reality is to come. It's physical and it's outside. Just as Jesus' physical death was not the end but the beginning of new life, so your death and my death need not be the end. That's the hope, ultimately, that starts at Christmas. For those of us who are older, and even including me, I'm only 54, but I think my best days are now behind us in this world, perhaps. But you trust Christ, and they've only just begun. This Christmas, you can have a future that begins now and continues way beyond the grave and on to the other side forever, and a future that turns physical death on its head. Only the Christian rejoices at death. I don't know anybody else that does. Because death for the Christian, because of Christmas and everything that followed, becomes the door to a new and everlasting life with no sadness, no sickness, no suffering, no dying and no death. It is the greatest thing. It is the most marvelous gift. And one day, just like Jesus, you will hear his voice and you will awake from physical death into a new physical body, which is indestructible and incorruptible. That's what makes us so happy at Christmas, because that's when it all started. And that is, if you don't know Christ yet, like I'm talking about, and if this seems like gobbledygook, that is God's desire for you. That's why God became flesh in Jesus, became one of us, so you could inherit all that. Someone once said, for the one who doesn't trust Christ, this world is as good as it gets. For the one who trusts Christ, this world is as bad as it gets. Well, I know who I'm backing then, don't you? Here's another Christmas. We do it every year. Here's another chance to call upon the Christ of Christmas and to enter all into all that he's worked so hard to give you. And it really is a gift. All that he went through is a gift. And not only that, it's a free gift. And it's the greatest gift. The Bible says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You might have had a present that was pretty mind-blowing today, but it's nothing in comparison with this. Let me quote as we close from a carol that we sang at the carol service. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Our reading says this, and it was prophesied 700 years before Jesus was ever born. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let me urge you that this Christmas, trust the Christ of Christmas. Get the reality, not just in your head, but in your heart, and you'll never be the same again, and you'll never have a better Christmas present ever in your life. Thank you. Well, that's it, my friends. We're just going to sing one more final carol. But let me remind you of how this goes. A friend of mine has reminded me, and I've remembered. O come, let us adore him, women, first one. O come, let us adore him, men, second one. The third line, all of us, O come, let us adore him. Now, if you make mistakes, it doesn't matter, but I've told you how to do it. Okay, let's sing. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. wishing you all a very happy Christmas. Amen.